This week on the Time Bat Show.
Which U.S. store chain is named after the first mate in Moby Dick? Is it A, Arby's?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 76. I'm your host, Timeasis.
And I am Bat Snacks.
Your other host.
Your other host. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
It took us five claps to get that one right. I can't believe
it. And then I screwed it all up by not saying I'm the host.
We gotta do it all over again now. No, it was funny because we do the little claps to sync our audio up. Mm-hmm. The first clap we did was like perfect. And you were like, I was like, was that good? And you're like, I don't know. And I was like, what's wrong? And you said, what'd you say?
I said, it doesn't feel right getting it right on the first time.
So then we did like four more and none of them worked and we should have just kept the first one.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine. How are you doing today, Bats Snacks?
I'm doing okay. But, you know, sometimes we've never just done it on the first one. Well, can't just start on episode 76.
With the first one just done. So we have to throw it out no matter what. Like, even if it's like the most perfect synchronous clap in the world.
Yeah. You know when you're dealing poker cards, you got to deal a card like off into the burn section.
To the abyss.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's just like... you throw it away.
It doesn't actually accomplish anything, but it feels right.
Good. It feels right as the dealer. You're like, I gotta burn it. We just made the same sound effect.
It's exactly the same. Yeah.
I never understood the point of the burn section
It's the same thing. It's just you can't have the direct next card.
Why not?
Because you can't have the first one. It's the same reason we clapped five times.
But couldn't people, if it's for cheating, couldn't people just put the card they want on the second one? Because they know it's the first one's going to get burned?
Yeah. No, it's really, it really is just for, like, for illusion.
Does the dealer do that, or is it, like, a request?
The dealer does it every single time. You do the three cards up, then you burn one, then put one down, then burn one, then put one down.
You know, I could see you in another life being a poker dealer.
Yeah, I wanted to for a while.
You did?
Yeah, I really did.
Okay. So I'm not...
I read all about the classes you have to take.
I'm not so off there. So you really did want to do that.
Yeah, I just decided that it wasn't really for me.
What do you have to do to become one? Do you have to get, like, certified or something?
It depends on the casino you want to go to. If you want to go to, like, a really big Las Vegas casino, you have to go through a training program.
So it's like Clown College, but for poker.
Yeah, it's like Hospitality College.
Okay, interesting.
It's very similar to Clown College.
They're like in the same building.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's really competitive, being a dealer in like Las Vegas.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
I bet it is.
I bet it is.
I mean, I bet a lot of people would want to deal in Las Vegas.
You get good tips.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same as being a bartender.
Like and the unsuccessful ones, they go to Reno, they go to like the random casinos everywhere else, you know.
Yeah. New Jersey.
Reno's like the minor leagues, the minor league dealers. And then New Jersey's like the Bush League. Atlantic City is like the Bush League dealers. And then all the other random casinos are just, you know, amateur.
They're not even in the league. Above Las Vegas is Monaco. And, you know, if you're the best dealer ever, you deal there.
You deal there. But they only have, like, one dealer because there's only, like, two or three games going on. Yeah. Oh, being a Monaco dealer. That's, like, the dream right there.
Yeah, you're pretty much a James Bond, like, cast member if you're a Monaco dealer.
You're, like, probably really attractive. Like,
yeah, you're really handsome. You're, like, super charismatic. You probably have an accent that you switch depending on who's sitting down.
You can speak in like three different languages.
Yeah.
Like depending on your clientele, you're like, oh, they're French people. All right. Mon ami, mademoiselle, or whatever. Oh, man. It's probably like being a Monaco dealer is probably kind of like being like a geisha. you know, in a way, right?
It's like a super, super high class, prestigious service.
Right? So you got to be like really nice to your guests because you want them to spend
really
money.
Trustworthy. Because really the kind of clients you have are
millionaires.
The richest people in the world. Yeah.
That would be the dream. They probably tip amazingly. You probably get like $10,000 tips from these people.
Yeah, I mean, you have to consider, like, if you're a Monaco dealer, if you write a book, that book is, I would read the hell out of that book.
Monaco.
Yeah,
Monaco
my life
dealing.
Is a Monaco dealer.
Monaco. It would have to have like a catchy, like pokery kind of name.
Blood and Bones in Monaco.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Well, you're dealing with like the mafia.
Why are there blood and bones?
Because the mafia.
I was thinking something more like, what's the hell, is that card game with the three? Texas Hold'em? Or no, that doesn't work.
How about the what? Stud Club? Like, you know, like stud is a poker game?
Yes.
And like the studs are
see
your
that's better. Monaco Blood and Bones is like
I don't
what
know.
Is that about?
That's like more like true crime.
That's like a murder in Monaco over a poker game or something. Do you think there's crime in Monaco?
I think it's very low.
Yeah, I've heard. I kind of want to go to Monaco one day. Like I would never be able to afford there. Do you think when you get into Monaco, like let's say you fly into Monaco on a plane, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you land in the on the runway. And they probably don't even have an airport. It's probably just like a runway or whatever. Like for private
you probably
jets.
Have to bring your plane.
So you get there, right? And then like, you know how you have to go through customs when you go to any foreign country? Do you think part of the custom process is like, how much money do you have? Like, are you rich enough to be a tourist here in Monaco?
I know in order to buy property there, you have to have a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, it's really expensive, but...
Yeah. I don't know. That's weird. That's so, like, even to live there, it's expensive, is what you're saying.
Yeah. But it's tax-free, so if you have a lot of money, it's worth
it. Oh, it is? Oh, that's why there's no taxes. That's why all the rich people live there. I don't know. I kind of want to go one day.
I would love to go.
But it's so expensive. Yeah. You probably can't even...
I was going to say you'd have to have, like, a rich friend.
Yeah, that, like, takes you to Monaco.
Yeah.
I don't have any rich friends.
Neither do I.
Why aren't you my rich friend? Why aren't you, like, really rich?
Because I do IT for a living.
Damn it. Well, get rich. Hurry up. And then I want to go to Monaco. And in order to go to Monaco, I also feel like you have to have a really fast car. And part of that is, like, if you fly into Monaco... You need to get your car there somehow, too.
Yeah.
Like, you ship it or something, right?
Yeah.
You know?
You have to bring it on your boat.
Because every time you see people in Monaco, they always have their cars, even if they're, like, American. Like, how the hell did they get their car there? So they must have shipped it or something. You know, it's not always, like, a Maserati or whatever.
Yeah. You need to have a yacht big enough to have a garage on it. And then you park it on your yacht. And then you pay your butler to drive your yacht while you fly your plane there.
Jeeves. Yeah, you fly your plane and Jeeves drives.
Jeeves. That's a good name for a butler.
Drives it into Monaco. And then you spend the night gambling and drinking champagne or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's
if you get out of hand, Jeeves has your back. He'll take you home.
He'll take you home, yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if, like, a tourist like myself could even get to Monaco. You know what I mean? Like, there's no legal thing preventing me from going to Monaco, but I don't have money to do it. You know what I mean? So, like, could I even vacation there even if I wanted to?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Like, I bet all the hotels are so expensive, they're just prohibitorily expensive. Like,
but you could like, sleep on the ground.
That's what I mean. Like, could I find a way to be in Monaco without being really rich? I don't know if that's possible. Everywhere else in Europe, you can do that. Like, if you want to go to Italy, like, yes, it's better if you have money, but if you don't, it's like, you can go... And you can sleep in a hostel or whatever. Like, you're good.
You can see the Colosseum.
Yeah, you can be in a hostel or whatever. Same with France, Germany, and England, and everywhere else. But Monaco, like, I don't know if they have room for, like, cheap housing. I think it's literally, like, if you want to go, you're paying a lot of money to be anywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. One day, if you ever been to Monaco, fair listener, let us know. Time Bats How.
Yeah. We'll have you on for a full hour. I would love to hear
that
story. We will.
We'll just talk about Monaco and how I want to be a dealer in Monaco. That'd be the coolest job.
It really would.
So what's going on this week, Bassnacks? Anything exciting in the news this week? Or it's kind of been a slow kind of week, I think, because of spring break and stuff.
I think it's been a pretty exciting week. We actually almost pushed this episode ahead a day just so that we could talk about this most exciting subject.
Let's not get too ahead of ourselves, but all right, sure. What's the exciting subject? Well,
dear listener, in the news, you may have heard about something that's being touted as the biggest crossover event in history. Have you heard about this?
I have. I've heard a lot about it, yeah. It's really big.
It's really big.
It's coming soon.
It's coming soon. And it's Mario Tennis.
Aces. Which is a huge game.
Yeah, first of all, do you remember the original Mario Tennis?
Oh, 64. I love that game.
That game was fun.
Do you remember, there is a memory I have, and I think it's with you, of me and you being in a Blockbuster Video, looking at Mario Tennis 64, and they had like a tournament or something. Do you remember this? Do you remember this? Is this just me inventing something, or is this real?
Was it a tournament at Blockbuster?
I think so. I don't know. I don't know if it was a tournament at Blockbuster. But it was some kind of tournament for Mario Tennis 64. Mm-hmm. And we rented it and tried to get really good at the game. And we didn't actually succeed, but it was really fun. And I remember that pretty vividly. I remember playing a lot of Mario Tennis 64.
I don't remember the tournament. I remember trying to get good at it, though.
We didn't play in the tournament.
Yeah.
Because we realized we weren't good enough. But we tried to get good at it.
Oh, it was one of those Blockbuster Video, like in the 90s, Blockbuster Video used to host like video game world tournament
things. Yes, it was one of those. Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those.
And we didn't get good enough.
I remember. Yeah.
There were times as teenagers, we wanted to get really good at a video game, and so we would rent it for a weekend and devote, like, all of our time to trying to be really good at that. Do you remember doing that?
Yeah, like 60 hours.
Like, a lot of time. Yeah. Like, we did that with Ikaruga, I think.
Yeah.
Mario Tennis was one of them. I don't remember the others, but there was quite a bit that were
Smash
like,
Brothers.
Yeah, we're like, we're going to get really good at this game. And it never really panned out.
I remember thinking that we were great. Like, we could like, beat our family members, like, no problem.
Like, easy. But yeah. That doesn't matter at all.
But then you go to, like, your first video game tournament, and it's you just get very humbled.
You're just like, wow, I'm not good at this.
I actually don't know anything about this game.
Do you remember we would play Smash Brothers every weekend, and you would be Fox every time, no matter what? And I would always try to be Luigi every time, no matter what. And you would win most of the time, but sometimes I'd win.
Yeah.
And we'd play with items on because we didn't know any better.
Items on high. 1v1.
No, we only played with the items you could throw because we thought it was more tactical that way.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like the pillbox, the sword. Mm-hmm. Like no bomb stuff, but like the stuff that you could throw. And it was like more tactical that way, we thought. And so we tried to get really good. And then, I don't know if you remember this, but you hosted a tournament. Where was this at?
It was at one of those Magic the Gathering stores.
Yeah, it was like one of those like bookstore / comic book / D&D kind of stores.
We had one TV. And I remember this. This is such an embarrassing memory. Okay. So I decided to host a tournament, and I like wrote the rules in Sharpie on a piece of notebook paper. And we got there, and we didn't have a TV. We had to borrow this shop.
The store's like, TV. It was like an old CRT. It was really small. It was really small.
We had like three controllers between 20 people.
I remember.
Yeah. And I didn't know how to make brackets, so everyone thought I was like a corrupt tournament organizer.
So, like, all I remember about this is that you really wanted to do it, and you were like, should we do it? And I was like, yes, you should definitely do it. And I was kind of, like, helping you, and I was kind of tagging along, but I don't know how you got even this started. Like, Did you ask the store? And how did people find out about this thing?
I don't even remember.
You don't even know?
I don't even know.
You probably asked the store, and then they put, like, a flyer up or something.
They were like, as long as you buy a booster pack of Magic cards.
Right, then you can use... And we had to use, like, the back room. Do you remember that?
I remember. It's it was where like... they would usually do D&D games.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they were too happy with us being there, because it didn't really... It didn't really pan out, and we lost money. We lost our own tournament.
We did.
I remember losing. I also remember playing Mario Kart Double Dash there because we were trying to demonstrate how good we were at Mario Kart Double Dash.
Yeah, and we were. We beat everyone at that.
But... Do you remember that though?
I do.
Because we lost Smash Brothers, and then I think I was like, oh, "Okay, I'm bad at Smash Brothers, but look at this other game on GameCube." That yeah. we're really good at, and that's Mario Kart. Yeah. So,
no one played had cooperative team experience like we did, so mm-hmm. we just kind of crushed everybody.
I still, to this day, I think I'm the best at that game. Like, in any game I could pick in my life, I would say I'm the best at Mario Kart Double Dash.
Us as a team, I'd say we're world class. Yeah.
I don't know about world class.
I don't think, no, but think about it. How many people have the number of hours playing cooperative?
That's true. Nobody. Like, people single player, sure. But I don't think, yeah, I mean, very few.
Yeah. Like, granted, you were doing, like, probably 80% of the work.
No, do not discredit yourself. Because I tell people this all the time. Like, people ask me, legitimately, because I work in video games, so people ask me, like, what's your favorite game? What's your favorite multiplayer game? And I, with a straight face, like, most of the time, I'm like, oh, Mario Kart Double Dash. And they're like, what? And I'm like, just hear me out. It's really good. And I, like, have to explain how, like, the second player is actually doing a lot of stuff, but no one realizes they're doing anything. They're just, like, mindlessly throwing things straight and back. But, that being said, I think there's... It's kind of like... What's the word? What's that? No, Olympics? It's kind of like curling, right? Like,
yeah.
The second person is important, and it may not be obvious.
Yeah, the second person, I was overstating
80%.
Like, it's actually pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, the first player, if you're not familiar with Mario Kart Double Dash, mm-hmm. one player's, everyone's familiar with Mario Kart, but, like, one player's driving in Double Dash, and the other person's in the back seat. And the backseat person is throwing all the items. So, like, if you get a shell, where you throw it.
Also doing boosting.
Yeah, and they're throwing all the items. They're doing the boosting, like deciding when to boost, and also flicking the controller back and forth to, like, generate the boost. Yeah. And they can also whack people, like, left and right.
Yeah.
And
there are super advanced mechanics you can do with that whack. You can jump over gaps.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
You wrung out all the things that you could do in the second scene. Like, at first glance, it's like, this is stupid as shit. Like, why would I ever want to be in the second scene? But for some reason, you, like, loved being,
if
like,
you watch me
two.
Play in the second seat, I've got like 200 actions per minute on the controller. Like, I am always pressing buttons.
Like, I don't know what it was, but like, normal people in like a normal friendship playing Mario Kart Double Dash would just switch off. Like, oh, I want to be driver this time. It's like, okay, you know. But like, you were like, no, I just want to do the item man thing.
It was fun.
No, I'm not knocking it. I enjoyed it a lot. And you got really good at aiming, like, shells and stuff. So, I mean, good. And there were some times where you, like, you're about to fall off. And if you time the whack just right, you can, like, move the cart.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's some really advanced stuff that you can do. I remember we had one run. This is, like, my most cherished video game memory of all time. Do you know what I'm talking about? I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the show.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Do you know what I'm talking about, though?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay. We had a run in Mario Kart. We were trying to get... We had gotten, like, the way that Mario Kart scoring works is if you do really well, you get 10 points per track, and they have, like, cups. And we have already gotten all the cups, like, perfect already. But we were trying to, like, cut our time down, basically, mm-hmm. and, like, get, like, a really good time for I think, the Star Cup. Like, the biggest, the most, you know, the most advanced cup in the game or whatever. So we come up on, you know, track 1, 2, and 3, we do really good. And we get to Rainbow Road. And the Rainbow Road version on Mario Kart Double Dash. Which... is not super hard, but it has some really tight turns, and it's really easy to get screwed by RNG on Rainbow Road, because someone throws something wrong or whatever, you just fall off and then that's it. You know what I mean? And like, we could still get in first, but our time would be completely shot. So we're playing Rainbow Road. It's going really good, like really great. We come up on the third lap, and there's a part in the lap where you take this like booster thing and you fly up into the air.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
And then you land on the ground, and then you make like one turn, and then you're done with the race. So we're like going to the booster. We're about, I don't know, like 20 seconds out. And you're like doing your thing where no matter what, like I'm always drifting so that you can like
boost
us, because you have to drift to boost. So like I'm drifting like on a straightaway because I want boost. And you're like crazily moving the controller back and forth, the stick back and forth to like generate a boost. And a blue shell starts coming our way. And I'm like, oh God, like our run is about to be completely ruined by this blue shell. And what happens is, you're like, I'm like, okay, I think we can, if we get to the boost pad, we might be able to like hit the finish line before the blue shell hits us. And so I like keep drifting, and you keep like crazily super fast moving the controller back and forth, and we're doing like really insane boosts to like get all the way to the pad. We finally about to like the shell comes like right behind our head, and in this game it's like flying, so it's like you can see it right before it's hits you.
Yeah,
comes right next to our head, and like right as it does, you like hit the boost, you hit the extra boost, and we get onto the boost pad and fly into the sky. And the shell, like, flies into, seemingly into our cart, but it, like, hits the top of, like, this enclosure that we're flying through and explodes in, like, this, like, firework thing.
Oh, I remember this.
And we were like, oh, my God, we just dodged the blue shell. Holy shit. And then we, like, land and do the turn, and we, you know, win the race, obviously. I remember this. But
I was crying.
Because we dodged the blue shell. Which
it was like a very emotional moment for me.
You boosted us into the thing at the perfect time so that the thing could like the blue shell would blow up.
Yeah.
Not at us. And somehow we survived, and like we finished Rainbow Road, and we got a really good time, and
literally rolling on the floor crying.
It was amazing. Yeah, I was like, how did we do that? I don't know how we did that. And I think it's just cuz we like timed the boost properly to like somehow.
It's a mix of like luck and knowing exactly what to do, probably. Yeah,
at the exact right time. It was amazing. I don't know how much luck versus skill it was, but it was just like, wow. Anyway, that was like, I don't know. I always think about that sometimes when I think of like, what's the coolest video game thing you've ever done? I'm like, probably that.
Dodged a blue shell.
I mean, in the later games, you could dodge blue shells pretty easily, but in Double Dash, you almost never. You can almost never dodge blue shells. Like, you can't. There's nothing you can do.
Unless you already had invincibility.
Yeah, unless you already had invincibility. Yeah. So, like, that was just. Like, we didn't even know it was possible when we pulled it off. We were just like, oh, let's try. You know?
And the fact that it exploded behind us, like fireworks.
In, like, a firework. It was like, whoa! Yeah, it was just the coolest thing ever. So, anyway, that's, like, my amazing video game story. But the point is, Double Dash is really fun, and No one gives enough credit to the person behind in the back, but I think I love that aspect of that game because it's like,
so did I.
It's so fun. I want more games like that, and I feel like a lot of co-op games are super symmetrical in that like one player is doing the same thing as the other player, and it's just like, you know, if you both do it just perfectly, then you win. But
yeah,
Double Dash, you're doing different things.
Yeah, I think asymmetric gameplay as far as like co-op games go is much more interesting if you have a different role for each person. Yeah, for sure.
That's why I liked Overcooked so much.
Overcooked is fun.
Because it was like you shift them up. Anyway, enough talk about video games, because I know our listeners don't really care.
We haven't gotten to the real important subject, though.
This new Mario Tennis game, the
promotional artwork that they released for Luigi.
It's big news, right?
It's a big deal. Luigi, okay.
Why is it big? Why is it a big deal?
Back in Mario Odyssey, there was some controversy about Mario having nipples. You know,
oh, I remember that because he was on the beach.
His swimsuit costume, you could see his nipples. Mario, it turns out, has nipples.
Yep.
Well, Nintendo has gone a step further.
They have doubled down, if you will.
They have doubled down. Luigi, he has a bulge. He seems he has a penis.
He has a baby Luigi, if you will.
No, it's not a baby Luigi. It's not. Like, it's...
Oh, God.
It's a big bulge.
It's a big Luigi. So, I mean, you know how, like, in all... This is so terrible. You know in all the Mario sports games, like, Mario's, like, the balanced player?
Yeah.
And Luigi's kind of, like, his stats are a little different. Yeah. So, like, it's just reflective of that, you know? Yeah. Mario's average, and Luigi is,
you know, bigger in some areas, maybe.
And weaker in others.
Weaker in others.
Yeah.
But this is one of the areas he's probably bigger. This is
one of the areas where he is strong in, if you will. This, you know, this area in the crotchal region.
What makes this unbelievable to me is it's not like this was a video of gameplay that got released and people just, like, screenshotted the exact moment.
No, Nintendo, like, put this out.
No, this was a promotional rendering of the game.
So someone rendered Luigi's penis.
Yeah. Intentionally. They're like, there's no mistaking. His shirt is even flying up.
So do you think the person that rendered it, like, well, the artist... Do you think their intention was to be like, I really like Luigi. I'm going to throw, forgive my pun, I'm going to throw the fans a bone on this one and, you know, do this. Do you think the intention was that? Or
that has to be it.
So you think someone literally
I think put that in they probably had two different renderings of Luigi. Mm-hmm. One with and one without. Mm-hmm. And they went with the one with.
Do you think do you think there was oversight here? I think the person that approved it just didn't notice this.
There's no way, dude.
Really? You're like, yeah, let's give Luigi a penis, it's fine.
It's no very, very clear in the picture what that is. Like, there's no mistaking it.
All right. So you think someone in the marketing department or whatever was like, yep, this is fine.
Yeah, good. That's awesome.
I love this. It's great. This is perfect. This is exactly what the fans want to see. And to be fair, they're completely right. Because
they're right. I love
people,
it. It's great.
People are very excited about this. Anything to give Luigi some different, more personality over Mario, right? Anything to differentiate them a little more.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, there you go. Luigi, I mean, he was always my favorite brother.
Same.
This just kind of cements it even more.
I always... all right. What? I always kind of assumed Luigi would, you know...
What? Tell us. Explain exactly what you're thinking.
It's hard to articulate what I'm thinking. I think Luigi is the brother with the...
Bigger business. Bigger business, yeah.
Yeah.
You've always thought that?
I do think so.
Have you always thought this, or have you just thought about this now? This is an important distinction. You realize
I think it's more I've thought this now and kind of it makes sense in retrospect.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, if you were like, no, I always thought Luigi's penis was bigger than Mario's. Like, that's a weird thing to kind of be thinking about on a daily basis.
We don't know that it's bigger. They haven't shown Mario yet.
It's true. I mean, I'm just going to assume.
Yeah, I will assume it is.
Do you think people out there wonder that question, though? Like, before this appeared... Do you think people were like, okay, Mario and Luigi, two different brothers. Luigi's taller. I wonder which one has a larger member. Do you think people thought about that? Or have thought about that before?
It makes sense. People say that about tall people.
So you think there are people on the internet or in the world that have thought this. Like, they've wondered who had the bigger... business.
I mean, that must be true, right?
No, yeah. I mean, the artist that drew Luigi obviously has wondered that in the past. It'll be interesting to see how this translates to the game.
Yeah, how this develops.
I'm very excited for the new Mario Tennis.
Yeah, same.
It looks very good. I love Mario Tennis.
And I love the Switch. I think it's a great platform for Mario
and
Tennis.
I'm going to be Luigi. I liked Luigi before he had a big penis. I just want to let everyone know that right now.
You did. I can confirm. That's always been your character.
Luigi has always been my favorite Mario character. And I feel like a lot of people are starting to come around to Luigi. Oh my god, I keep with the puns. I'm not intentionally doing this. Started to come around to Luigi and because now his artwork. But yeah, I've always liked Luigi. So let the record show, I guess you could say.
You weren't a bandwagon.
No,
Luigi
I'm not,
fan.
I'm not bandwagoning because of his, you know, bandwagon. What else is up today?
Well, earlier this week, I think you texted me, and we were talking about like social situations.
Yeah. I remember. I don't remember why this came up. I'm trying to remember. I think I was at the grocery store.
Yeah.
I was at the grocery store this week with my wife, and whenever someone's like friendly or whatever, we stand in line in the grocery store at the same time, obviously, because we're buying groceries together.
Right.
And whenever there's something near us that's like friendly, they will always talk to my wife because she's very approachable looking. Mm-hmm. But whenever I'm alone at the grocery store buying something, I am never, ever, ever talked to by like anyone except the person that's checking me out.
Yeah.
And most of the time, this is completely fine to me because I don't want to be bothered 90% of my day. But I've come to the realization that I think some people just appear very, very unapproachable all the time. And I think I am one of those people.
Yeah, I know that I'm one of those people.
And I don't really know why, but I've just accepted the fact that I am.
Well, I think maybe... For one, you kind of look like you're in a metal band.
That's true. That's true. I will say, when I'm walking like downtown at night, sometimes people will like cheer at me. They'll be like, "Hey, dude!" Like, as if, you know what I mean? Like, they assume I'm in their kind of similar social circle kind of thing.
Yeah. I have the same thing.
That like, will happen to me.
When people talk to me in public, they're usually very emphatic to talk to me. Like, whoa, I see what you've got. I see what you're presenting.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think the people that, like, recognize whatever I'm putting out there... Are like, yeah! But, like, the old lady at Walmart, like, that's not ever... Like, they're never going to talk to me, ever.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned the emphatic thing. I was walking down the hall at work, like, a couple weeks ago. And, you know, you always pass people in the hall.
Yeah.
And there's people I'm passing, I don't know him. And then I pass this one guy, and he has this, like, really long black hair. And he looks like he's in, like, a Japanese metal band or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, looks at me in the eye, and I look at him in the eye, and then, like, we both nod at each other.
I do this constantly.
As if to say, like, I like what you got going on over there. And I'm like, why did I do that?
That's okay. Can we talk about that nod?
Yes,
what does that nod mean? Because I do it
to a lot. Talk about the nod. I don't know what the nod means, but I nod at some people. I don't nod at others. I don't know what it means. It's really weird.
All right. Usually, it's like I don't usually like, give that. I mean, it doesn't matter the gender actually, because I do it to women and men.
Yeah, it's confusing.
What I think, I've thought about this nod before, because I saw someone post about it on, Twitter. Social media site. I saw someone posting, like, this guy just nodded at me randomly on the street. Why the heck did he do this? Uh-huh. And this post on social media had, like, 300,000 people reply to it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it made me think, like, wait, what if the people I'm nodding at aren't really, don't really get
what like, they
I'm
don't want to receive the nod.
Yeah.
Because no one knows what the nod means. Yeah. But, you know, when you receive the nod, you're either like, that was weird, or you're like, oh, cool, that guy nodded at me. I'll nod back.
Knows.
Like,
he knows.
I don't know what he knows. He doesn't know what he knows, but he knows what's up.
Yeah.
It's like this unspoken social convention.
Yeah, it's like a secret handshake.
It is, but, like, no one's in on the secret. There's no secret. Like, I don't know what's happening. But you're totally right. Like, the some people you nod at must be like, what the hell was that? Like, why was there a nod?
I don't know that. That's a weird guy. Why did he do that?
But sometimes you nod, and the other guy nods, and you're like, all right. Right on, guy. Nodding back. And you're like, okay, what does this have to do with anything? But I don't know, yeah. So you do it too, though?
Yeah, I do it too. I do it a lot. Probably more than I should. Because I like to give people the benefit of the
doubt.
Yeah,
see, you're probably over-nodding.
Yeah.
Because I don't nod a lot. Like, I'll do it to people that I know. Like, when I know... You know, sometimes you get that gut feeling like, this guy can smell what I'm cooking. Kind of thing. Like,
He's on my level.
He's on. He's nod worthy. You know. Yeah. And then you do the nod, and then he nods, and you're like, "All right, we're good." But like, if there's another guy that like he might not nod back, I'm not nodding at him. You know.
I think what I actually do is I just kind of nod at everyone, and if they don't reciprocate, I just make a weird face at them.
See, that's your problem. You can't nod at everyone, man. Yeah. You gotta pick who you nod at. You gotta be selective about it. See, this is what I do, and this is kind of awkward too. You see people in the hall, you nod at them. Mm-hmm. I see people in the hall, I either nod at them, or this is awkward, but not as awkward as nodding and not receiving a nod back. I will like maybe smile. And then I'll look into the ground because I don't want to make eye contact for them that long because I don't want to nod at them, you know? So that,
and I feel like if I look at someone for too long, I'm invading their privacy.
Then don't look at them. Just look away. Look at the ground.
I think in practice, though, that kind of makes me look unapproachable. Uncomfortable. Like we're saying. Okay. Yeah.
So you're saying, oh, in order to be unapproachable, I'll creepily nod at this person, and that'll make me seem extremely approachable.
I don't know. I'm just not good at.
Hey, you're. I mean, we have different problems. Okay, like I'm not good at it either. I'm not over nodding, but I'm not doing a bang up job out there either. Let's be honest. But I feel like I'm unapproachable in general, and I worry about that sometimes. Like, when I was 15, if you would have told me, like, you're going to be really unapproachable when you're an adult, I'd be like, that's awesome. Bring it on. I'm excited.
Yeah, I love that. I'm mysterious.
I love, exactly. Like, people think I'm, like, mean all the time and, like, mysterious and introspective. Yeah. And, like, most of the time in my day, like, I want to be unapproachable because I don't want to be bothered. But sometimes, you know, you get to a point where you're like, I wonder, you know, if someone wanted to tell me a joke right now or something, like, I'd be receptive to that. You know, maybe you need a little cheer up. You're having a bad day or something.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want to be unapproachable all the time. You want to be able to, like, you know, be talked to sometime. So I wish there was, like, a switch I could turn on and off. You know, it's like, most of the time, neutral, unapproachable. Sometimes, like, click, I'm receptive to you coming over and saying some dumb joke to me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That's just me. Maybe that's not how other people think. But I just feel like I'm unapproachable a lot. So
yeah, same.
I don't know how to resolve that.
I don't think you're going to.
Because I could be like, I could smile more, but that's not something I could do.
No, you know? Like realistically, could you smile more?
Like, no, couldn't. Like I thought about my face while I was working today, like once, and I was like, I wonder how I look. And I smiled from the face I was at, and I was like, wow, I was really frowning. Like, I could tell how much my muscles moved to smile that I must have been, like, really grumpy looking. So I probably just look like that all the time. So if people, like, walk up to me, and they're like, hey, and then they're like, oh, shit, he looks really mad. Like, gotta leave him alone.
Better not tell him a joke.
I've been told on multiple occasions at work, because I listen to music really loudly, that people sometimes try to get my attention. And after, like, 10 seconds, instead of, like, tapping me on the shoulder or, like, going up and, like, waving, you know, the wave if you need to get someone's attention on headphones or whatever, instead of doing that, they'll just give up because they're like, oh, he's looks mad or whatever, you know.
He must be having a bad day.
Right. So it's like either I'm always having a bad day or I don't know. It is what it is. Let's just leave it at that. Yeah.
I'm glad we talked about the nod, though. That's that's something that's cool.
You can't over nod. That'd be the lesson to you this episode. Yeah. Don't over nod. Nod to the people that are on your own ground. Speaking of bad days, someone had a really bad day by dying recently. That's a terrible joke. Did you hear about this? A self-driving car killed a pedestrian.
Yeah,
Arizona. And a lot of people are talking about this because
it's
Uber.
The first one that we know about. That's terrible to say.
It's the first one. It is the first one that we know about. And the more awful thing is that, like, yes, this has probably happened before. And
they just kind of swept it under the rug.
It's totally what happened. That's so depressing. I never thought about it. Oh, my God. That's totally right, though. You're totally correct. That's really depressing.
Like, oh, let's not, folks.
My God, that's so depressing. We have to talk about that now. But this was a homeless person, and it was caught on video, so they had to say.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
But if it was a homeless person that wasn't caught on video, bet there's you dollars no to donuts, Uber would be like, oh, yeah, we hit a bird or something. I don't know. It was a
big bird. it was a bird with hair. I'm sorry.
No, it's we're not laughing at the deceased. We're laughing at Uber being like a terrible evil company.
No, you have to laugh at stuff like this or else you'll cry.
It was a big bird. It was a big bird.
Just hose it off.
What happened to your bumper there? It's like, oh, this is a big bird. We hit it on the way back. No big deal.
The thing about self-driving cars and hitting people. All right, we're going to get
I'm looking forward to this. Go.
When a computer hits someone, I don't know if they know if it's happened.
I don't think they do. This is terrible. See, this is an important topic that we need to talk about as a society.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the computer knows they're murdering someone when they're doing it. Yeah. Actually, I'm almost positive they don't know that they're doing
it. How would you know?
How would you know as a computer? I was reading the story, and they were saying that the pedestrian walked out in a crosswalk, mm-hmm. but they didn't have, like, the arrow. Like, they didn't have a light, so they shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that really bothers me. The car did not even try to brake at all. Like, I think it braked when it hit the person, but, like, it didn't slow down or brake before impact at all.
That is crazy.
So, like, it didn't. You're right. It didn't know it was about to kill somebody. It was just like, oh, there's a person, I guess. Whatever. And then when it impacted, it probably was like, oh, I got to brake because I hit something. It must have been a big bird. Whatever. And that's, like, horrible to say, but, like, it doesn't know it's hitting someone.
Yeah, and that... All right, so if you're being driven by an automated car, mm-hmm. and let's say you get into an accident, mm-hmm. and you're... I remember reading about this happening. I don't know if it actually happened, but I think it did. I think someone was decapitated in a driverless car,
and the car just kept about that going. Too. Because they didn't know someone got decapitated.
It got to the destination and was like, we're here!
You can get out of the vehicle now! And it, like, takes a seatbelt off. It's like, there you go!
Yeah, an AI that doesn't know it's done something wrong will just keep doing all the wrong things.
Here's the other thing. Yeah, no, and like, it'll just pile it on. Like, here's the other thing. I think Uber was saying, like, the reason this happened is because the pedestrian, was technically breaking the law, and the computer isn't programmed to, like realize that people are breaking the law. But it's like, that shouldn't matter! If I was driving and I saw someone run across the street, I'm not gonna, like, accelerate and be just, like, they deserve this! Like, I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna brake. That's not how human drivers are going to work. Like, we can't write that off.
Be like, well, he shouldn't have been walking.
Well, they had it coming because they didn't follow traffic signs. Like, no, that's not quite right. Like, this is the, like, danger. This is, like, the terrible scenario I imagined when you said, like, the computer will just keep making mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay? Do you know the running of the bulls?
Yeah.
You know how they, like, corner off a street in in Spain. I don't remember where it is. Yeah. Barcelona, I believe. I don't remember. There's a place in Spain that does the running of the bulls. They section off an entire street. People run and bulls chase them. Mm-hmm. Now, let's remove the bulls and put self-driving cars in this scenario.
Okay.
Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
And the cars don't know it's the running of the bulls. So these streets should be completely clear. And they're given directions just to get, like, down the street, just drive down the street, to the end of the street. And people in normal circumstances aren't running all over the road, but in this circumstances they are. And so they just start the self-driving cars, and they just plow into every single person that's running in the street. Because to them, people aren't supposed to be on this. There's nothing wrong. This is just a street. I'm supposed to drive on the street.
Yeah.
You know? And they just keep hitting people, person after person and person. And then, you know, that's it. So
yeah,
that's, I mean, like, that's Florida, the doomsday scenario.
Like, near where I live, there's a lot of bike races that are not announced ahead of time.
Yeah, and they, like, the some of the streets are just closed off, or, like, you know, the bikes are just on the street and you have to deal with it.
Yeah, and you have to see the bikes coming, or else, you know, hundreds of people will die.
Like, how does a self-driving car figure that out? Like, hopefully they could see the person and be like, okay, let me brake. But if what Uber says is true, they're like, oh, if people are breaking the law, then we can't be held accountable. It's like, yeah, you can, because you killed someone when you could have just hit the brakes. So I feel like that's a program, a function you should probably put into your AI.
It's not good enough to just obey the law. You have to be
laws very are just, vigilant. Laws are there as like a rubric. Like, laws are there at the very end of the day so that we don't do the terrible things we could do. But before you have the law, you have to think ethically about, hey, should I run this person over or not? Like, no, I shouldn't, because I'm not a monster. And AIs don't have that at all. They don't have an ethical, they don't have a moral compass. They don't know.
Yeah.
All they have is the law. And sometimes the law is wrong, or they just, you know, miss it.
This reminds me of something that I've been reading throughout the week. It relates to AI and, you know, what's making that? Decisions.
Yeah, what's that?
So I've been reading a a statement by a U.S. Navy commander about military operations in near the Pacific Ocean. And it's a long report, but like some of the I took a couple of excerpts out and I texted them to you because I thought they were like kind of alarming.
They were very weirdly worded.
They were very reminiscent of a certain 1980s movie that I've seen. Let's read one of the sentences real quick.
Please do.
We must also network this force and take advantage of man-machine teaming to improve our responsiveness.
Man-machine teaming is like the creepiest word or phrase.
Yeah.
It sounds like humans and like robots are like...
They sound like a different species.
They do. In that context. They're treating them as a species.
Almost. Not as like a tool.
Yeah, like, oh, our friends the machines. You know, in Terminator. Gotta work together. And then they'll, you know, explode the sun or whatever they do.
What he's saying, though, is that, okay, we need to put all of our military high-power components on the internet and let machines control them.
That sounds like the worst idea I've ever heard.
And let machines control them, because machines respond faster than humans.
Yeah, and they're dumber, too.
And they run over pedestrians.
Here's the thing that I feel like people don't understand about computers.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, I'm not a expert, but like people are like, oh, they're a lot faster and smarter. It's like, no, they're not smarter, they're faster. They can make mistakes at light speed, whereas we could only make mistakes, you know, once per hour or whatever. Like, they can make a million mistakes in 1 second, and we can make one mistake in 20 seconds.
Yeah, and the problem with machines is if you make one mistake, chances are you're going to make a million mistakes.
Because something's wrong with your programming, obviously. Yeah. You're working under some weird state where you're making a lot of mistakes. So, no, I don't want to give nukes to the machines. Because if they screw up and they're like, we're going to test this nuke and it'll shoot off. And if they have like the calculation wrong, they're just like, well, we'll shoot it. And then it shot. And they're like, they can't realize it's broken until it, you know, explodes over California. And they're like, whoops.
I think what he's referring to, and like, it's impossible to know because all this would be classified, but I think what he's referring to is missile defense systems.
Yeah.
Like, just to have AI patrolling the sky, and if they see a missile coming at us, to automatically shoot the counter missile.
I heard a story recently. Someone I know used to work as a military contractor, and there was some, like, program that was like a missile defense kind of. It wasn't missile defense, it was something. It was a targeting program for, for shooting, like, ballistic missiles somewhere.
Yeah.
So it wasn't defense. But anyway, so the targeting program had a very bad error where whenever it was, like, refreshed, it would drop a decimal place. So basically, if you put in 50, if you put in, like, 5,000 feet or whatever, and then refreshed it, it would be 500 feet, and then it would be 50 feet, and then it would be 5 feet.
And then we'll be right on top of
them. And then be right on top of you. And that was found thanks to quality assurance, luckily. But if we give computers the ability to write their own programs and stuff like that, and they accidentally make mistakes. Obviously, computers don't make mistakes in the same way humans do, but they definitely make mistakes in that there can be some weird race condition that causes them to drop decimals for no reason. And if they make those mistakes, and they think that the computer thinks it's, like, flawless because it's a computer, and it's just like, this works. And then suddenly, you know, it blows itself up, you know, because who knows?
Or, you know, worse, it just starts shooting at everything.
For no reason. It's scary. AI is kind of frightening. I think we are putting too much stock into, like, being able to do everything with AI.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, because on one hand, the benefits are really amazing, potentially, if they're perfect.
They're really amazing, yeah.
You know, on the other hand, as we're saying, like, you give too much power to computers and
something terrible can happen.
One mistake.
Very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Too. They can screw up so fast. Like, I mean, everyone's used a computer at one point, and then randomly it'll just blue screen, right? Yeah. And you're like, why did that happen? You know why? It's because your computer fucked up like 1,000 times in 1 second. That's why. That's exactly why.
It got to a state where it's just, it couldn't be salvaged.
It's just like, I can't, I think I'm working, but I don't know. And it'll just like, mistake. And then a second passes, 1,000 mistakes, and then the computer just is like, well, screw it. And they just turn it off. Yeah. That's why. So like, give that into the hands of like, nuclear weapons in the hands of that? Like, no thank you.
That's the plot of Terminator.
I'll pass on that one, yeah.
Anyway, no thanks. It's the opinion of United States Army strategists that we must employ AI and a lot of it.
I think we need to look into it, but I don't know. Yeah, must employ is in. Let's get into listener questions. Wow, look how much ground we've covered on the show.
Yeah.
We had a listener question today, I believe. I think it was sent in by Gio, one of our most listener, I don't know how to describe this, one of our best fans. Thank you, Gio. The question was, you go to order a pizza, and they're out of pepperoni. What toppings do you get? And in and of itself, that's a fine question. Mm-hmm. But in our way, I'm going to modify this.
Okay.
In a way. And the modification I'm going to make is, this pizza isn't for you. It is for an entire office or party or group of people that you don't necessarily know very well.
Okay.
Now, you get three toppings.
Yeah.
And you try and please everyone. And what do you go with?
So this is an important question. Is it only one pizza, or are you ordering multiple pizzas?
It's one pizza.
It's only one, and you're splitting it between, like, a small...
Yeah. And now you have to assume that they wanted pepperoni, right? They were all in agreement of pepperoni before you went to the pizza place. And now they don't have pepperoni, and you're like, well, shit. So you're given the opportunity to choose three ingredients to put on this pizza. Or just one.
No, I think
two.
The question is three. We have to do three.
And then you bring it back and hope the people that wanted pepperoni still get what they wanted. What do you say?
Well, if I were going the selfish route and only putting on what I wanted to put on it, it would just be, like, extra mushrooms and onions.
I would do sausage, onions, and maybe mushrooms. Yeah. But that's not the question. What would you give the other people?
If I were ordering for a party?
Mm-hmm. You didn't know. You know they like pepperoni. That's it.
Okay. They wanted pepperoni. Sausage is a good...
Sausage is a good... An analog.
Is a good analog.
You could do sausage and meatball.
Yeah. Would that be too much meat, though?
I mean, maybe.
And people are really particular about vegetables, too. Like, some people just won't eat bell peppers.
That's true. I would do sausage, pepperoni, and onions.
You can't do pepperoni.
Oh, sorry. I would do sausage, meatballs, and onions. The problem there is I feel like some people don't like onions because they're stupid and onions are delicious. But still, I feel like some people don't, so that might be bad. So... You could do sausage, pepperoni, and then, like, basil or, like,
Just like a throwaway topping.
Some like topping that people could pick off, right?
Yeah.
Like onions, that's going to get deep within the cheese. You know, that's you can't pick that off. Yeah.
It's hard but to like see onions. They're kind of like camouflage.
Yeah, but if you do like mushrooms, like people can pick mushrooms off, you know.
Yeah. I would choose probably sausage, mushrooms, onions if I was ordering for a party.
Sausage. So you would do onions. You wouldn't do meatballs or anything.
I don't know. I feel like if I'm hanging out with people, they like onions. I'm an onion man.
I'm in a cool. Look, I'm hanging out with the cool people. They all like onions here.
Yeah,
that would be a good. That would be a good friendship kind of like.
Yeah.
Test. Like, do you like onions? No. Well, get out of here. We don't. I don't need to hear. You bring them to like a fast food restaurant and you see if they get onions on their burger or not. And you're like, if they don't, you're like, well, it's been nice knowing you.
Yeah, it's been nice, but there's we're never going to see each other. There's
the door. Onions are very important to me. I need to have them. The other question I had, this question reminded me of, I might have asked this on the show once before, but I like it. This is the first interview question I ever got, which is weird.
It's the donut question?
It's the donut question. Have I talked about this before?
Yeah, I think we have, but it's been like ages.
Oh, come back around to it, you know. Maybe our listeners don't remember that or whatever, you know, secretly. So you're given an order. You just started as an intern at a newspaper. Let's say it's a newspaper because that sounds, you know, very...
That's where you get donuts.
It sounds very like 1960s. You're at a newspaper and the big boss man's like, we need a story today. Hey, intern, go fetch us a dozen donuts from the corner bakery.
So you go and get your derby hat and get your trench coat.
Your dirty hat and your trench coat. You run over to the corner bakery. You see Hal. And Hal's like, hey, Jimmy, what can I get you today? And you're like, it's not for me. It's for the people at the Daily Bugle. And he's like, all right, what do you want? And then you have to figure out, you get a dozen donuts. You don't know what people like at the newsroom. What do you get? What kind of donuts do you choose?
Glazed. Glazed for sure.
Just 12 glazed?
12 glazed.
See, that's my point, too. But, you know, that was an easy question.
I mean,
it's true.
I could talk for 30 minutes about the strategic
about why it's glazed.
This question.
Glazed is the safe choice, right? You get 12 glazed, no one's be disappointed. Everyone's be happy. It's fine.
I can sum up my logic like pretty succinctly, actually.
Okay.
If you get any kind of donut other than glazed, there's a chance that someone won't like it.
You're absolutely right.
And the thing is if you only get one kind of that donut, if people like it, they're still not going to take it because there's only one.
That's true.
So anything other than glazed, you have to get at least two. And you're risking having, like,
a leftover donut.
Like 8% maybe of your donuts being unedible by your
office. And this happens every time I see donuts at work because people love to get the Boston cream ones, the filled ones.
Yeah.
And every time I go, like, I always go and get one and then I'll come back a couple hours later just to see. And everything will be gone except, like, one Boston cream donut or two.
Yeah.
Because somebody doesn't like Boston cream donuts and someone out there's not enough people that like them to take all of them.
Yeah.
And even if someone did like them, they don't want to take the last one. So it's terrible. Anyway, so there you go. That's the donut question. So get all 12 glazed. And pizza, I guess the real answer is get a cheese pizza. Don't mess around with toppings.
Yeah.
Don't mess around with toppings. But if you had to, go sausage, onion, and mushroom.
What would probably be safer is something like sausage, olives, and mushrooms.
I don't like olives.
I don't like olives either, but people do for some reason. I think they're gross on pizza, but
see, whatever. If people if there's a person out there that likes olives and doesn't like onions, I want to talk to them. I want to have a talk.
We're going to have some words.
I have some words for you because you chose the wrong food to represent, okay? Because there's something wrong with you if that's the case. Olives, if you like both, fine.
You can't even put them on there fresh. They come from a can.
Yeah, that's gross. If you like both olives and onions, fine. If you like olives but not onions, there's you're unsavable. Something's wrong with you. Yeah. This is wrong. We're kind of short on time, but you want to do some would you rathers really quick?
Sure, we can do one real quick.
Would you rather is a question answer segment we have that we get questions from a bot that generates random would you rather questions using a neural network. Okay. Would you rather watch TV or watch TV?
Watch TV, but I think watching TV is going to be big in the future.
You think that's going to be big?
Yeah.
How do you figure?
Well, when you were growing up, you used to play video games.
Oh, I see where you're going with this. Yeah.
Now that a lot of millennials, I mean, are grown up.
Let's be honest. Yep.
We love to watch other people playing video games. Mm-hmm. Because it reminds us of our childhood.
So you think in the future, we're going to be watching people watch TV?
Yeah.
That sounds so boring.
I mean, but think about watching someone play video games.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I think you need, like, a super elevated personality watching TV and reacting.
And, like, commenting on it.
Yeah, like, way over the top. Because I think TV, as a medium, is going out. Like, mm-hmm. Nobody likes TV anymore.
This sucks. Could save it. This could save TV. Watching TV. It could. You get a celebrity to watch, you know, The Walking Dead or whatever, and they'll react to it, and you're like,
I would watch Keanu Reeves watching The Walking Dead.
I would watch Keanu Reeves watch anything.
Same.
Anything. I would watch him watch curling or, you know, knitting. Or, oh, here we go. Keanu Reeves watching Antique Roadshow, number one.
Same. And talking about, like, his old, like, as a kid, yeah. What he had.
And he'd be like,
up.
Whoa, I would love that. You know, I would.
Whoa, you know, I would
whoa, I love it. It's so cool. I wish I could be there and, like, whoa, look at that thing. Whoa, that's, like, so cool.
I mean, think about it. Like, no one just watches TV and does nothing else at the same time. You're either cleaning, true. You're on your phone, you. Yep. You're right. Have it on in the background while you run on the treadmill.
No, you're right. So this is like you're taking another engagement level kind of away.
You need an extra level of engagement to keep people interested.
So that's Keanu.
Yeah, that's Keanu watching the Antiques Roadshow.
I mean, this could be his like retirement thing. Like, oh, I'm too old to do movies, or I don't want to do it. So I'll just watch TV, and people can watch me watch TV.
Yeah. They should have, like, a really old-fashioned, like, set where there's, like, an old CRT TV with an antenna. And he has, like, a red sofa.
And he's, like, in a suit at all times.
Yeah, he's in a suit. It's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but Keanu Reeves watching
Keanu
TV.
Keanu watches TV.
Yeah.
And he has, like, a dog, you know. Sitting on his couch that he's pets or whatever.
Yeah, or a cat.
And he just comments about it. She's like, whoa, look at that. And he, like, points at the TV to his pet and, like, look at that, Charlie, or whatever. I don't know what his pet's name is. Watch TV. Would you rather have hiccups with cheese on your clothes or be as you are but sideways?
I feel like hiccups with cheese on my clothes happens to me, like, a lot, actually.
Does it? I don't know.
It's fine. I'm used to it.
So you're choosing that one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I want to get through all the would you rathers. I know we have trivia, but the other two are really funny. Would you rather be immune to inappropriate people or be Jimmy Astrologist?
Both are really, really enticing.
Right?
As long as Jimmy Astrologist enjoys a lucrative career where he makes a moderate amount of money.
In astrology,
I would choose that.
I want to, yeah, Jimmy Astrologist sounds pretty cool.
I can already deal with inappropriate people pretty well.
I mean, yeah, me too. Jimmy Astrologist sounds pretty cool. Your name would have to be Jimmy, though. your full name would be Jimmy Astrologist. The Astrologist.
You have to legally change it to Jimmy Astrologist.
Yeah, you should literally be Jimmy Astrologist. It's like, Jimmy Astrologist, you're like at the airport, and they're like, Jimmy Astrologist, what do? And you're like, astrology. And they're like, oh.
You would have commercials at, like, late night on public access television.
Why is it astrologers need commercials?
Well, how else are you going to get your business?
What business? You're an astrologist.
I know. People call you on the phone and you give them astrology readings.
Oh, my God.
Right?
I guess.
What other business model works for astrology?
Oh. Okay, anyway. Go ahead with the commercial.
Okay.
What does it say?
He just has commercials on late night public access television where he tells you to call his number or visit his shop and he can like sell you crystals and astrology readings or whatever.
Okay. I thought this was more of like a homegrown astrologist that's like doesn't need commercials, but I gotcha. It's in late night public access. Would you rather be allowed to eat a wild bagel or have Mario eyes?
Wild bagel.
I don't know what a wild bagel is. I imagine it has wings, though. I don't know why. Like, it's flying around. Let's get into trivia.
Okay.
Trivia time.
Trivia time. It's that time of the show where we do trivia.
I'm excited for trivia.
I'll have you choose a lifeline.
Okay.
It can either be 45-second ask, 30-second Yahoo, 15-second Bing, 5-second Google. I messed those up, but well.
You can choose. I know what they are.
Monty Hall, 50-50, rhyme time,
phone. I'm going to do Monty Hall. I'm going to do 5-second Google this time to change it up.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do rhyme time. Because we never do rhyme time anymore. And I want a freebie. So there you go.
I don't know. I might have prepared.
Maybe.
I didn't.
All right. I'll do ask a random.
Okay. Your first question is about science.
I love science.
Sort of. I don't know if that's true, but...
That's fine.
All right.
I don't know if that's true.
I don't know. A phlebotomist extracts what from the human body?
Mm-hmm.
Is it A, blood? B, phlegm? C, milk? Or D, semen?
Well, I'm almost positive that it's blood. Because I don't know of any doctor that's extracting milk or semen from the human body.
Doctors do that.
They're not, like, extracting it, though.
They might.
They might, but they don't. There's not, like, a profession of a man or woman that's like, what do you do for a living? Like, oh, I milk people for a living. That's what I do.
If you milk people for a living, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at contacttimethatshow.com.
Yeah, I just don't see that. So I'm 95% sure it's blood, so I'm going to go with blood, final answer.
That's correct, but
yes.
What else can you extract from people? I was... exhausting.
No, you're right.
Options.
You're right. Phlegm. I like how you chose phlegm because it kind of sounds like phlegm.
I thought you would choose that one.
No.
Oh, well.
I knew that was like a gotcha one.
This is going to be a very easy trivia for you, just so you know.
Good. Good.
All right. Your second question is about history.
I like history.
Who was president of Vietnam from 1945? To 1954.
How is this easy? I don't know the answer to this. Oh, maybe I do. Yeah, I do. Never mind. Go ahead.
I haven't gotten to the answers. It's about. It's easier than you think. Like, the last question probably could have been harder.
But, all right, give it to me.
Is it A, Kim Taek-yong?
Okay.
Is it B, Ho Chi Minh? Is it C, Lim Yo Huan? Or is it D, Lee Jae-dong?
Okay, so Ho Chi Minh was the first person that popped in my head when I was like, oh, I don't know the answer. And then I was like, wait, yeah, I do.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure it's Ho Chi Minh, but you could be tricking me because Ho Chi Minh could have been an earlier president from
Vietnam.
Could
have been, yeah.
And the new person that was during the Vietnam War could be somebody else, like Lee Se-dong or whatever his name was.
Yeah, Lee Jae-dong.
Lee Jae-dong. I feel like that's too... I don't know. I don't know how tricky you are right now, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. You have 3 lifelines to use. Only 2 questions left.
What are my lifelines? I have Google. I have Monty Hall. Okay, I'll do Monty Hall. Yeah, I'll do Monty Hall. I'll lock in... What are the other ones?
A, Kim Taek-yong.
Mm-hmm.
B, Ho Chi Minh. C, Lim Yo Huan. Or D, Lee Jae-dong.
I'll lock in Lim Yo Huan.
Okay, it is either Lim Yo Huan or Ho Chi Minh.
All right, I'm going with Ho Chi Minh. Final answer.
Okay, you're correct.
Yes!
Fun fact about your other answers, though.
Yes.
They're all professional StarCraft players.
See, I knew the last guy sounded familiar.
Yeah.
Was it Lee Jae-dong or
Lee
something?
Lee Jae-dong, yeah.
Yeah, he sounded familiar. I was like, that sounds familiar.
Nah, he wasn't president of Vietnam.
He was a StarCraft player. He's a Korean StarCraft player. All right.
All right, your final question is about literature.
Okay. Which, I don't know how I feel about literature. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Which U.S. store chain is named after the first mate in Moby Dick? Is it A, Arby's? B, Nordstrom?
Oh, God.
C, Starbucks? Or D, Long John Silver's?
Oh, I love this question. I know the answer, but I love it anyway. So I know it's Starbucks because Starbucks is the first mate in Moby Dick. But I just want to say,
it could be Arby's.
Awesome Arby's would be. How much better of a restaurant Arby's would be if it was named after a literary character of any capacity.
Yeah.
Like if I found out, my day would be made. I read on the internet, like, I assumed my whole life Arby's was named after some guy named Arby, you know, that just, like, some guy with the last name Arby.
The worst something. Name.
Sorry, it's a terrible name. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't even know what name that is. But if today I found out that actually Arby's is named after one of the characters in The Grapes of Wrath or something like that, that would make my day, like, that would make my month. I'd be, like, very excited about that. Like, I would go to Arby's the next day.
Same. So would I.
Like, I would. Like, no question. I wish more fast food restaurants were named after fictional literary characters now.
So do I.
I mean, you got so much to draw.
Like, from. I don't think Long John Silver's is named after a real sailor.
No, I definitely don't. Maybe he's fictional, too, like in a book or something.
Yeah. I thought maybe Nordstrom maybe sounded a little Moby
Nordstrom Dick-ish. Nordstrom sounds a little Moby Dick-like. Yeah, Moby Dick-ish. What are the fictional characters we can make into restaurants?
I was considering picking JCPenney, but I thought you would, thought you would know.
Hey, JCPenney, get over here, your first mate. That's my Ahab. He's like, JC, get over here. And he's like, yes, sir. What's your last name, JC? He's like, Penny, sir. JC Penny, we got the white whale upon us. Ready the masts, sir, whatever he says.
JC Penny.
JC's like, yes, sir. Arby, go with JC and
Captain and wrestle. Arby has kind of a ring to it.
Captain Arby and JC Penny. We could just make a whole fictional universe of chains that lend their name to the characters on a, like, pirate slash whaling vessel.
Yeah.
Right? So you got Captain Arby.
Got Jace.
First mate, JC Penney.
First mate.
And then you got, like, the long... Isn't the longshoreman, is that a thing?
What is a...
The longshoreman, isn't that a thing on a boat?
Maybe.
The longshoreman would be, Einstein... Bagels. No, that doesn't make any
sense. You can't pick Einstein. He's already a scientist. Pick,
That's true.
Burger King.
I don't know. A Burger King.
And you know the guy who mops the deck?
Yes.
I think that's Long John Silver.
Yes. Or that could be Charles Schwab.
No, he's like the navigator. He's smart. He doesn't do... Charles Schwab.
Why are we doing this?
You know, if I wrote fan fiction...
You would use all, like...
This is my fan fiction.
You would use all, like company names as your characters. Jace Burger King. King. Charles Schwab. And Arby. Oh, God. Yeah. And I think that's all that you really have. I mean, you have other people on the ship.
Yeah. They don't have names, though. They're
just navigator. We don't have a navigator.
Navigator would be...
I can't think of anything.
I don't know.
I want another Chick-fil-A.
That doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. I'm just thinking of fast food restaurants.
Chick-fil-A, God. Wendy's, In-N-Out. Wendy.
Wendy's
the Navigator.
You were thinking of fast food, and as you said In-N-Out, I was like Five Guys. Five Guys, the Navigator. No, Wendy. We need some female representation on this boat, yeah. So Wendy would be the Navigator. She's smart. You know, she's smart as a whip. She looks just like Wendy.
She's a child.
Oh, we forgot about McDonald's, but he's like, that's like the evil
He's
villain.
In the brig.
I feel like McDonald's is the evil villain. Yeah. Though. Like the competing ship. He's the captain of the other ship.
I agree.
And he like wears clown makeup to scare his foes. Mm-hmm. You know. Sorry. We have time for exactly one Reddit question today. Okay. We haven't done any. Isn't that insane? This is the perfect Reddit question to end on, by the way.
Let's do it.
You now have an Australian accent. Nice. What's the first thing that you say?
Crikey.
It's crikey?
Yeah.
I think about this a long time. And my first thing would be, put another shrimp on the bobby.
I don't think people in Australia actually say
it
that.
It doesn't matter. That's fine. That's fine.
It'd be okay. Really funny, though.
It would be.
I would drive down to the store and just say, put another shrimp on the bobby, mate. Oh, crikey.
If I had an Australian accent, I would talk so much. Yes. Like, you have no idea. Like, I don't talk that much in real life, but I would talk a lot if I had an Australian accent.
Same.
I would just go to places and start talking. Like, really loudly. Because I feel like everyone loves the Australian accent so much that people will just, like, want to be your friend. Yeah. You know? It's like, oh, that guy's an Australian accent. Let's go talk to that guy.
I've thought about this before. Like, maybe sometimes I think about moving to another country just so mm-hmm. that I'll have an accent.
And you'll be that I'm guy. Cool. And people will want to, like, talk to you. It's like, oh, yeah. He's cool. He's, like, foreign and he's got like a cool accent.
Kind of southern, has kind of a nasally, he's got kind of weird voice.
He's got an accent. That's so cool. You know, or who's got an accent? That's so cool. That was my French person. Yeah. Have you ever thought about just inventing an accent for yourself?
No.
I have before.
I'm not good at faking accents.
I've never done it, but I've thought about it. Like one time when I was in high school. No, I was in college. And I went to this, I started this class that was like out of my major or whatever. Yeah, it was like an elective. So I didn't know anybody. And I was like, maybe I should pretend to be, I don't remember what accent I wanted to do. I think it was either Russian or British. And I was like, maybe I should pretend to be that. And I almost, like, I was very close to doing it, but I didn't go through with it.
Oh, that sucks. You should have done it.
I feel like I would have been outed, and that would have been really awkward. Like, I felt the embarrassment of being outed would be worse than, you know what I mean?
But, I mean, people can't really challenge you.
No, but at some point, you know, people from that class could meet other people I know, and then what do you do? Like, yeah. Do I be Russian randomly with this other person that knows I'm not Russian? Like, you know, what do you do in that situation?
It would have been really funny. It would have been Everyone really would awkward. Have loved you. They would have given.
I know. I would have been the most popular person in the class, yeah. But I didn't do it. Like, that's an easy way to be like really popular. Just like make an accent, and then people be like, "Whoa, this guy's foreign. That's so cool." Okay. Well, I think that's. Does it for... Oh, I have this... Okay, we only have, like, a certain amount of time. If hell was tailor-made for you to be the worst possible place, what would it be?
Well, pretty much a public bathroom.
Just, like, exactly the same.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to need live to change in there. Much.
All right, really quick. My hell, I've thought about this a lot. My hell would be I'm sitting at a desk, and there's, like, 100 people around me. I don't know any of them. They're all really loud. They're talking to each other, and they're, like, laughing hysterically. And I just have to sit there all day and listen to that.
Yeah.
That's my hell. Because people having fun loudly frustrates me a lot.
Nothing makes me mad.
Nothing makes me madder than a lot of people I don't know having a good time and being annoyingly loud. That's been... Oh, who's our sponsor today, Dustin?
Our sponsor today is Ashley McCowan's Old English Ale.
Is that real?
No,
Ashley. When yes, it's real. When you want a nice punch in the gut,
hit it.
Drink
in
Ashley.
The gosh,
we're not doing rot. That's fine. That's been episode 76 of the Time Ace Show. I'm Time Aces.
And I'm Bat Snacks.
Good night, everyone.
Drive safely.